And welcome back to Coast, the hour we will take your phone calls as we talk about dreams that can save your life. We are back with your calls, questions, and your own stories on how dreams that can save your life. Truly amazing. Kathleen, where do you get this book?
You can get it anywhere. It's in all the bookstores, but it's also on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon, order your book, or if you've got a Kindle reader, you can order it on Kindle.
All right, very good. And Dr. Burke, why is it so important to catalog and journal your dreams?
It's like any other skill. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. The first time you do it, you might only get a dream fragment or little snippets, you know. And then I consider almost like going on a fishing trip. Occasionally you snag a little piece and you can kind of reel it in and you'll get the rest of the dream will come back. And then you'll get another dream. And after a couple weeks of doing this, you might remember 3, 4 or more dreams a night. And, you know, then you have to devote a little time in the morning to writing them down or get up in the middle of the night and write them down as soon as you have them, which is what I recommend. I use a little battery-powered red LED alarm clock, which I can just hold up over my dream diary. And so I can see what I'm writing without disrupting my pineal gland with a white or a green light.
And you say that the ancients, Greece, Egypt, they did this too.
There were Asclepian temples. I mean, the real irony is that the symbol of modern medicine is the Asclepian rod with the single snake wrapped around it.
Yeah.
And of course, dreams have completely dropped out of medicine altogether over the last few millennia. And even Jung and Freud, who attempt to bring dreams back into the consciousness, they have not assumed the most prominent position as you would have expected, except in, you know, Jungian analysts. So I think it's high time to bring dreams back into our consciousness.
All right, let's take some calls for you, too. Let's go to Donna in Albany, New York, to get us started. Hi, Donna.
Good evening, George, or good morning.
You, too. You have a question or a story for us?
A story, actually. When I was a child back in the 60s, my father told me about a man he knew who was having terrible, terrible headaches. Now, obviously, this is before most of the diagnostic technology. And he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, you must have a brain tumor. We're going to do an exploratory. It was the best they could come up with. So the man was in the hospital. He was supposed to be operated on the next day. And whether it was a dream or a vision, he said that a man in Old Testament garb walked into his hospital room and told him, go home now and see a dentist tomorrow. And he did what the man said. And he saw the dentist the next day, and the dentist drained like a quarter of a cup of pus out of an abscess.
That could have killed him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Donna. Here once again, Kathleen and Larry, somebody in garb shows up like a monk. I wonder if it's the same person.
I don't know. Did he have his hood up? Did he have that hood up, Donna?
That's something else. What do you think, Larry? I mean, could there be some kind of paranormal group that does nothing but travel around helping people?
Well, one of my favorite stories from the book is the woman, 29-year-old woman, is dying of metastatic uterine cancer, stage 4, and she has a 5% chance of surviving with chemotherapy, even with chemo. This is probably 20-some years ago. And she has a dream where a silver spaceship, flying saucer, comes into her dream. The aliens get out and they tell her, you need some interferon. And she had no idea what that was. So she went in and told her doctor the next day, I think I need some interferon. The doctor was so stunned that she'd heard of an experimental drug that had not gotten any publicity yet that he got her some and she got better. So, I mean, the messengers come in all different forms. And I'm not sure exactly what determines the type of messenger that a particular person gets.
Let's go to Adam in Parlin, New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Adam.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I've got a story for you. It's a little bit strange. It's not cancer or anything like that, but it's still medical, and it to this day, it still amazes me. I was out fishing one night. My foot bothered me a little bit, like it did on occasion when I'd stand for quite a while, but I didn't think much of it. Went to bed that night, and I had a dream of me fishing again with an elderly man telling me, "You got to go into the doctor." He says, "You got problems with your feet there, don't you?" And I said, "Well, my right foot hurts every now and then, but that's about it." He says, "No, you got shin splints and you also got plantar's wart." And I said, "Is that right?" And as I'm moving around, he says to me, "How long ago is it that you broke your shoulder?" And I says, "Oh, that was 40 some odd years ago." I said, "I was about 16 then, took a header off of a bicycle and broke it." And he went ahead and said, "You ought to get that checked out." The next morning, I wake up, and I remember this dream pretty vividly, you know, and I said to myself, "Boy, that was crazy, you know." And a month and a half went by, and then we got a notice from work. We had to go for our company physical, annual physical, and by now, my foot was bothering me a little bit more than usual, and while I was getting the physical, doctor says everything fine. They're doing basic blood pressure and blood tests and things like that. And I said, "Doc," I says, "would you mind taking a look," I says, "at my right leg here?" I says, "Below the ankle," I said, "I'm sorry, below the knee," I says, "I've had some pain in the bottom of my foot." I says, "I know I'm flat-footed, but other than that," I says, "it's never bothered me before." Well, he did check some things out and whatnot, and he says, "Well, you got shin splints," and he says, "I don't know if you ever heard of it, but you got what's called a plantar's wart." And I says, I've never heard of that except for the first time last night. He says, "Oh, you're looking up on the computer?" I says, "No." I says, "Somebody in a dream told me that I had it." I said, "And he also told me about a shoulder that I broke when I was 16 years old." And he says, "Who's this fella?" I said, "I never met him except in my dream last night." And he says, "Well, you got some pretty amazing dreams there."
He wasn't wearing a long robe, though, was he?
No, he just looked like a common fisherman, and he was, you know, up there in the years, but it was pretty amazing, because, like I said, I didn't think much about it, but that dream came to me a month and a half later when I was getting a physical, and I had to ask the doctor if he would take a look at my foot, and sure enough, he said, "Yeah, you're flat-footed," and he said, "If you look at your right foot here, you can see how it bulges out to the side a little bit." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got what's called a plantar's wart."
Huh.
He says, "And in your ankles there, you also have shin splints." He said, "They're pretty much healed over." He said, "Did it give you any pain?" I says, "No." And he says, "Were you active in sports in school?" And I said, "I wrestled." He said, that might have been where it came from. And he says, "Is it anything that you can't deal with as far as pain?" I says, "No." I said, "In the winter, I'll take an Advil or two or something like that." I says, "But that's about it." But that dream, it was amazing. I had that dream, and sure enough, everything that happened in the dream, you know, I wouldn't have took it upon myself to go see a doctor for something that was so mild, but this after, you know, the company saying you got to go for the physical and whatnot, I figured that dream came to my mind. I said, let me get that checked out, and he went ahead and checked it out, and sure enough,
that's another amazing story. I'm beginning to think, Dr. Burke, that there may be more people doing this than we even know.
Well, George, I was just thinking that I was going to tell your listeners, if Kat and I are going to write another book soon and collect more stories, if they want to either go to my LarryBurkeMD.com and leave a message there, or to Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, or to our Facebook page, which is just Dreams That Can Save Your Life on Facebook, leave us a message, and we'll contact you by getting in the next book.
That'll be fantastic. Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis with us, Dr. Larry Burke as well. We're talking about their work, Dreams That Can Save Your Life. And there are other kinds of dreams, too, beyond health issues, where people dream of jobs and success. And your dreams kick in and work on those, too, Larry.
Absolutely. And I had I just had taken 11 years off from working at Duke, and I was just going back to Duke when I had this amazing dream about success. Kind of like guiding me to go on my journey back into academics, and I my undergraduate English teacher shows up. My favorite teacher from my college days at Duke, and she says, "This is a course in creative writing." And I said, "Oh, I didn't know I'd signed up for that." And I go off on this hero's journey down a winding path. I meet an old lady, a crone, at the bottom of the path who's selling elixirs. I buy a bottle, drink this elixir. As I'm drinking it down, dark liquid dissipates, and I can see a message on the bottle which says, "Get on the elevator, hit the button to the basement, and then get off." I do that in the dream. I go to the basement, I get off, and I step out onto what was like a yellow brick road, and I think I'm off to see the wizard. And that was my guidance to go back to Duke and start doing more research.
Next up, let's go to Jody in on the Hudson Valley area of New York. Hi, Jody.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a question, not a story, and
okay.
I wanted to ask. Thank you. I wanted to ask, earlier when you were talking, when you were telling about your dreams and how they told you to go see a doctor, I mean, all that is good and fine, but I was wondering, somewhere in this dream process, your dreams tell you to go see a more natural person, like an energy healer, an acupuncturist, an herbalist, so that the illness can be addressed naturally as opposed to going to a doctor for, you know, Western medicine. I was wondering if the messages ever come through of how you should heal the ailment or the illness, you know, naturally, or does it ever guide you to go see an acupuncturist as opposed to a doctor or a naturopath or something like that. That was my question.
For you, Kathleen, I guess.
Okay. Well, you know, I found it really interesting, Jody, that whenever I would have the dreams, my spirit guides, who were these Franciscan monks, would say, "You go back to your doctors." They, you know, if they had told me to go find Swami Wami Ramalama Ding Dong, I'd have done it. But they didn't. They said, "Go back to your doctors," so they did have faith in them. However, when I was going through treatment, they were very active in helping me with my diet. They told me to use ghee, not to use butter, and they told me to take baths, not showers, and they told me to only eat organic foods, no matter what, when I was in my house, but that it would be okay if I didn't eat totally organic when I was out, like not to fret over it. So they didn't tell me to go find an acupuncturist, but they did have faith in my doctors, and they did guide me with my diet, and they also guided me with the type of chemotherapy to use. So, however, that said, we do have a story in the book where a gentleman had lung cancer, stage 4, very advanced. And he was having dreams, went in, found out that he did have the lung cancer, and he told his doctor that he was not going to do chemo, that he was going to do just natural healing. And he's still with us today. He healed himself. So, you know, it kind of depends on the people and what the goal is. Is the goal to maybe teach the doctors? Or is the goal to have your story that you can do natural healing go into a book so that other people can choose what kind of healing will fit them?
Vicki in St. Louis. Hi, Vicki. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, it has.
Vicki's an old listener of my St. Louis Nighthawk show.
I got something pretty amazing to show you. I hope I get to run into you real soon, George.
Yeah, I'll be back there in a couple months.
Oh, great. It's a new aura picture. You got to see it.
Okay.
Anyway, I was going to tell you about how dreams are so fantastic. I always pay attention to them. Back in 1997, I had a dream that I was at a farmhouse, and a woman doctor, she was doing a pap test on me, and she told me, "You got cancer."
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, "What?" And so when I woke up, I thought, "I got to get to the doctor." Sure enough, I had stage 4 cervical cancer.
Wow. Saved your life, Vicki.
It did save my life. I always pay attention to my dreams.
You're going to have to send an email to Dr.
Yeah.
Burke and Kathleen.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
I love
it. Wow. Great. Well, I'm glad you're still with us.
Yeah, I did. Everything went real well. I had surgery, and they were able to get everything. I didn't even have to have chemo. I they caught it. They said in good time, but the doctor told me it was stage four at first. So luckily, it didn't get to that progression.
Vicki, you sound the same as you did 15 years ago.
I look the same too, George.
Good for you. Thanks for calling.
Hope to see you soon.
It brings back great memories from those days. I was doing just a local show, you two, in St. Louis, and I got spotted to fill in for Art Bell, who just passed away.
Yeah, and, Miss Art, yeah.
Tragedy. We're going to do a tribute to him on Thursday, by the way, devote the whole show to him. But these dreams are amazing. Now, does anybody ever, Kathleen, talk about a woman, an angelic woman who comes and helps? It always seems to be, you know, a monk or somebody in a robe or something like that, or a guy?
No, I think there are definitely women that come and help other women in dreams. Sometimes it's just voices, or it could be a woman's voice. Often it's a woman's voice. So, and actually one of the dreamers in the book had animals. I mean, this dreamer had a dream where a bluebird came down, pecked his nose, grabbed the worm, a worm in his nose, pulled it out, and flew away. I mean, it was an amazing dream. And then an eagle came down and basically pooped in his nose, and the hole in his nose, and it closed up and everything was great. So he went to the doctor, and he found out that he had cancer in his sinuses. It doesn't always have to be a monk. It can be a bird.
A bird. My mother doesn't like birds that try to get in your house. She always thought that was death. Interesting customs. Larry, what do you think of that?
Yeah, well George, we do have one story in the book from Wanda Birch, who... she had had diagnostic dreams about her cancer, breast cancer, but then she started having healing dreams. And one of the dreams, she was taken to back in the biblical times to the ancient pool of healing of Bethesda, which is in the Bible. But Wanda was not a Bible scholar, but she gets taken to the pool of Bethesda. And in the Bible story, the angels come down and trouble the water. They stir up the water, and if you get into the water right away, you'll be healed. And in the dream, Wanda's instructed to do this. And the angel's name is Eliseus. And she'd never heard of the angel's name. She'd never even heard of the pool of Bethesda. She got all this stuff coming down as guidance for her healing process. And then she later went up and looked it up in the Bible and found the verse that described exactly what she'd experienced. Angels can happen.
It sure can. Once again, give out your websites. And Larry, how would you like people to get a hold of you for the latest book that you two are writing?
Yeah, so LarryBurkeMD.com or Let Magic Happen is another one of the same website, LetMagicHappen.com.
And Burke is spelled B-U-R-K?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah, my fellow radio guy in Detroit spelled it B-U-R-K-E, so it's not you.
Apparently, that's the Catholic spelling, and the Protestant spelling is Burke with no E. And that's
he was Jewish, so it's probably the Jewish spelling, too.
Okay. Usually, it's only important if you're in Northern Ireland.
All right. Well, stick with us, folks. We're going to come back for a final segment with you two and the rest of the calls. Questions on dreams or stories? And the stories just keep coming, don't they? Absolutely riveting. We're going to have... lots going on for the rest of the week. And don't forget, again, a special tribute show to Art Bell, who passed away on Friday. We will have on Thursday night the entire four-hour program. And welcome back. George Norrie here. Our final segment with Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Dr. Larry Burke. Their book is called Dreams That Can Save Your Life. And Larry, in terms of these dreams, how do you interpret what they are if they come to you in symbolism? Maybe they're not as direct. Maybe you don't have that monk that Kathleen had that tells you, you know, you've got breast cancer. What if they're just symbols?
That's a very good question. And one of the things we recommend is if you have a dream you can't, it seems disturbing, but you can't quite figure out what it means, to ask for a clarifying dream. And one of the examples, which I mentioned in my TED Talk and in the book, is my friend Anne, who had a dream that she was giving birth when she was postmenopausal. So she was in her late 50s, and she knew it was impossible to give birth, and she thought
Maybe that symbolizes a creative project I'm giving birth to, because she's an artist. And that sounded right to her, but she wanted to be sure, so she asked for a clarifying dream the next night. And in the dream, she was taken to a graveyard in Ireland, shown a headstone surrounded by daisies, and told in the dream, if she didn't do something about last night's dream, she'd be pushing up these daisies soon. So she thought, okay, maybe not a creative, a symbol of a creative project I'm working on. I better go to the gynecologist. She went to the gynecologist, got an ultrasound, even though she had no symptoms, and she had an endometrial cancer of the uterus, and then they did a vaginal hysterectomy, which means the tumor was delivered through the vagina, as almost like giving birth, just like the symbolism in the dream. So, yeah, ask for a clarifying dream. That's important.
Sure is. Let's take some final calls here for you now as they line up. Zelda's in Tampa, Florida. Good morning, Zelda.
Hey, George.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a dream like that, and I also have my theory as to why a lot of these dreams, we get them. When my son was about 14 years old, he was having terrible pains in his legs. And I was, you know, as a mom is, you're concerned for your children.
Of course, yeah.
And I was always one to listen to the radio. There was a Dr. Lendon Smith that would often talk, and he was good. He knew a lot of things. And then I would read a lot also. But nothing came to me as to, you know, what was going on with him. So one evening, I dreamed that a doctor told me, if I don't give him calcium, he will die. And I thought, I woke up in the morning, and I realized, since he was quite young, about maybe 10 years old, a few years mm-hmm. before this started, I had to take him off milk. He was allergic to milk. So here he was growing and hardly any calcium, I guess. And the dream came. I said, I know what's wrong with you. You need calcium. He said, what? I said, I know what you need. So this kind of maybe addresses Jody's problem earlier, or Jody's question earlier.
And was he calcium deficient?
We didn't have him tested.
Okay.
I gave him calcium plus magnesium. Of course, you need that with it, and a little bit of C.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple of weeks, he never had that. The pain completely went away.
Perfect.
He never had the problem.
Another dream that solved the problem.
Yeah, and I really believe that a lot of times we get these kinds of dreams because of our amazing brains. We are, you know, sometimes we're amazed by computers
mm-hmm.
and how much our little smartphone will do. But I can see that a lot of times we're picking up information we're not even aware of.
So you think though, Zelda, it's more physical than spiritual, let's say?
Well, I also believe you can pray if you are really concerned about something, and you can be helped to figure it out.
Kathleen, let's bring you in here with Zelda for a moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You believe it's primarily, I'll call it spiritual.
Mm-hmm. I do, and so I think that, you know, I don't know, but I would imagine if I had a 10-year-old son who had severe leg pains, I would probably just say, you know, oh my God, what is wrong? You know, somebody help me. And guess what? They did.
Next up, Richard in Goldsboro, North Carolina is with us. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you guys tonight?
All right. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to share, when I was about 11 or 12, I was having a few bad dreams, and somewhere along the way in my dream, I made up my mind, you know what, this is my dream. And somewhere along the way, that stemmed into me being able to do exactly what I wanted in my dream, go where I wanted, do what I wanted to do. And that went on for several years till I got into high school. And, of course, I bet y'all can't guess what a 12-year-old boy would do in his dreams if he could absolutely do whatever he wanted.
Whatever it is, let's not talk about it on the radio.
No, George, it was actually flying.
Really?
I would fly like Superman and even better. I've seen all the movies. He can't come close. And the flips and the loops and the turns. But anyway, I would fly through the neighborhood. I would fly, wherever. But anyway, somewhere along the way, that stopped. And, I wanted to see if Mr. Burke might have some...
It sounds like a little bit of that was lucid dreaming, doesn't it, Larry?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the best lucid dreamers are people who had nightmares, just like you're describing, and at some moment have this aha, eureka, go, I think I'm just going to confront that monster that's chasing me and find out what's going on and take control of the dream. And when you do that, you often get a skill for life. Many of those people lucid dream their entire life, and they're not teaching military veterans to do lucid dreaming. And instead of having the same flashback every night, they train them to go back into the flashback and confront what's facing them, and then become lucid. And I think it's a very popular topic these days, especially among millennials, since the Inception movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Kathleen, on the cover, of course, looks like a picture of that monk you were dreaming about with the hood and everything.
Yes.
Even though he saved your life, I'm not sure I'd want to see that guy.
He's pretty serious, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. Did he have white gloves, too, in the dream?
No, I never saw their hands because they pretty much kept them inside the sleeves. But
unless he pointed out a bony finger, like they do.
Ooh. No, I didn't see any bony fingers.
Good. Sharon's in Memphis, Tennessee, now on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
I had a dream that saved me from cancer.
Good for you. What happened?
In 1985, at the age of 32, I had a dream, and the only reason I paid attention to it was because it was repetitive. Over a two-month period, I had about two to three times a week.
Jeez, like Groundhog Day, that movie.
It was. It was. And so I finally decided I better pay attention, and the dream was that I went to this art school, and I walked into the sculpture class, asking the professor, could he have the students take a break and do a plaster cast of my right leg so that the prosthesis I was getting could be molded to my real leg. Now, this dream was very weird because I had nothing evident wrong with my leg, but I kept looking and looking and searching. And I had one minute, I mean, so tiny, unbelievably tiny mole on the left of my knee. And I finally went to the dermatologist, who was also a friend. And I asked him, would you please remove this mole? And he argued and argued and argued with me, saying, Sharon, you don't need that mole removed. There's nothing wrong with that mole. Do you have itching? No. There's no darkness. It hasn't changed colors. No. Why do you want the mole removed? So I finally lied to him and said, well, it rubs on my pantyhose and it rubs on, I just want it off. But he was very disgusted with me and he reluctantly removed the mole, only for 1 week later for it to come back that it was quite a virulent malignant melanoma.
My gosh.
So.
Jeez.
When I went.
We want that story.
That's another one for a new book.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was amazing. I didn't have any religious figures, but I do believe that dream was from God. And I've had two repetitive dreams since then, not about illnesses, but about other people. And both those dreams also happened. So, but my doctor, when I went back after surgery and everything, and they were taking out all the stitches because it was quite an invasive procedure, he looked at me, and he was a friend, and he said, "How did you know?" He said, "I wasn't going to let you take that off." And I said, "You're going to think I'm nuts, but I'll share this dream with you." And I don't know whether he ever believed me or not, but I'm 64 years old, and he never charged me another penny. I go to the dermatologist for free because he said, if you hadn't insisted, you would be dead.
Jeez.
I'm never going to charge you a penny. And he hasn't for 30 years.
That's amazing. How old is he?
I'm 64. I think he's about 3-4 years older.
Still going strong. That's great. And that's a great story. Sharon, thanks for sharing that. And that is for another book, you two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking in the book, we have several dreams about melanomas and other types of skin cancers. And this is a tricky subject because we all have many, many moles that we look, you know, people, you know, look at them all the time. They wonder whether they might be malignant or not. And you go to the dermatologist, get them checked, and it just shows that the dermatologists don't know 100% of the time either. So if you have a dream that's really warning you, pay attention.
Well, I was going to say, Larry, how many people have these dreams that they should act on and they don't?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know. More, as they say, more research is needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris is with us in Merced, California. Let's squeeze Chris in. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure.
I've never had trouble remembering my dreams. I've had trouble forgetting my dreams and my nightmares. I can remember them from when I was a child.
That far back. Wow.
Yes. They cannot leave me. They haunt me. Anyways, I'm really naturally a caregiver, and I've been able to diagnose my firstborn child with pyloric stenosis, even though the doctors just insisted I was crazy and a first-time mother.
In a dream, you were able to do that?
No.
It was just a feeling.
Just from being instinctive and intuitive.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was able to diagnose my husband with having something wrong with them. It turned out to be kidney failure. His nails were blue all the time. You know, the fingers, you know how our nails should be pink, but his were blue. Anyways, my mother recently let me know that my sister was not well. I don't really talk to her, but she'd let me know that she wasn't well and that she was having lupus-type symptoms. I go to sleep a few days later. One morning I wake up with this bizarre, insistent answer that I have to tell her that if she got rid of her breast implants, she would get better. And so I started doing research if breast implants cause lupus type symptoms. It wasn't a dream though. I don't remember having a dream. I just woke up.
You just have these feelings.
This, I have to tell her that I have the answer to her problem. So I found out that Selena Gomez has lupus and had to get her kidneys replaced or something. She had kidney failure from lupus. And there's rumors that she's had breast implants. So I'm wondering if this was the type of dream that I had that I woke up with this type of answer. Like,
no, you've got a precognitive ability, to be sure. You really do. And again, the websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. All of you who have listened, who have stories, those of you still on hold who, unfortunately, we can't get you on because we're out of time, send them an email at LarryBurkeMD.com, and it's linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. I'm sure they would love to possibly include you in their next book. Kathleen, thank you. Larry, thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Coast to Coast shows. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.